Welcome back, everybody. This is the GregBurt.com podcast for June 24th, 2007. Thank you for listening again, and let's get on with it. So for some reason recently, I've been thinking a lot about the original rock and rollers. You know, those guys from the 50s and the bands from the 60s and 70s, and how for all of my life they've been around. And the guys in the bands, with the exceptions of having some overdoses, are still alive and kicking and still performing to some degree. I'm 29 now, but when I get to be 40 or 50, these guys aren't going to be around anymore. They're going to be dead. And not because of overdoses, just because of old age. And that's something that just seems a little weird to me. And I did a little research. I looked on Wikipedia, which I know is not 100% accurate, but I think it's close enough for this. And looked up the ages of some of the original rock stars there. Mick Jagger, 63. Keith Richards, 63. Paul McCartney, 65. Roger Daltrey of The Who is 63. Pete Townsend of The Who is 62. Grace Slick is 67. Remember, she was from Jefferson Airplane, which then became Jefferson Starship and then Starship and, well, you know. Jimmy Page is 63. Robert Plant is 58. Sounds young in this list. John Paul Jones, who was the bass player for Zeppelin, was 61. Neil Young is 61. Elton John is 60. Steven Tyler is 59. And even Joe Perry is 56. I mean, these are people who are older than my parents. And you have to think that these people aren't going to be around for that many more years. I mean, look at The Who. Half of them are dead. Of course, Keith Moon was an overdose situation. And John Entwistle was, he died kind of young at 57, I think. But that was basically related to too much drug use over the years, I think, anyway. But the end result here is that this is a new phenomenon for rock and roll fans to have to deal with. Because rock and roll, in its current form, didn't exist before the mid-1950s. You had, at that point, at least in, you know, the mid-1950s or so, you had Buddy Holly and the Crickets, you had the Big Bopper, you had Elvis that was coming around then, and those were considered kind of racy acts, in fact. Buddy Holly was banned from playing in several places because he was, I guess, controversial. And if you listen to Buddy Holly now, you kind of wonder how a guy like that could ever have been banned anywhere. But that was the feeling on rock and roll at that point. And those guys from the mid-50s really got started what is commonplace today on rock radio. And, well, MTV doesn't really play music videos anymore, but when you do see music videos on there, the rock bands at least, the mid-50s to the early 70s is really where all of it came from, and all of it started out. And those guys that started it, those pioneers, aren't going to be around for the rest of my lifetime, and that seems kind of odd to me. A couple of years ago, when I was a high school teacher, I worked with a woman who was, well, she's close to retirement age, which in the teaching world, that means she's probably in her mid to late 50s. But anyway, she was telling us that, I forget when, but at some point for her classes, she was playing some records, actual real records, of the bands that she listened to growing up, which were the rock and roll bands, you know, Led Zeppelin, The Doors, those kind of bands. And she made an interesting point that I thought was really great. She said, it's amazing now to see these high school kids wearing t-shirts of bands that were around 40 years ago. She said when she was growing up in the 60s, you didn't listen to music that was over 40 years old unless your parents were listening to it. It wasn't something that the kids were listening to. And that's something that's really special about rock and roll, is that it stuck around for so long. And those bands that helped develop the sound that's around now, the kids are still listening to. And for rock and roll music to survive, and actually any type of music, it's really important, especially these days, that it's the teenagers who are listening to that music, because they're the ones who are buying the most music. If you want to go online and do some research, I bet you'll find something that backs that up. Of course, before a guy like Elvis was around, you had the big band stuff, like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, you know, the Rat Pack kind of guys, that swing-style stuff. That was the popular music in the 40s and the 50s. And when Elvis came around, it was something a little different. And actually, if you're familiar with rock and roll history, you'll know that the Beatles got rejected by several record companies. And there was some comment, I wish I remembered what record company it was, because they're probably still around today, and it would be great to kind of give them a hard time about it. But some record executives said that these guitar bands are just a passing fad, and they'd never really make it in the long run. Well, that prediction was wrong, and of course, these guitar bands are still around today, so But I want to get back to the idea that these older bands aren't going to be around. Well, their records will be around, but the people that are in the bands will not be around anymore. And by the time I have kids and grandkids, these bands that I see on TV, that I see in concerts today, are going to be like the old blues guys are to me. Just people in a book or a picture of someone or some recording. They're not going to be there anymore. And I think that means a lot. It's far different to just read about someone and hear stories about someone than it is to actually see them, or just even have the opportunity to be able to see them. I can read about the Rolling Stones all I want, and that's great. But the thing is, I'm not going to pay for those ridiculous ticket prices. But when they come to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, I have the opportunity to dish out a chunk of money to actually go see those people in person. Unfortunately, that's a piece of rock and roll history that's going to be lost in the next 15 to 20 years or so. And even if these people are still alive, I mean, there's no way that a guy like Mick Jagger is going to be going out and touring at age 73. I know the Rolling Stones are made fun of for being old, but by the time people reach their 70s, they're probably not going to want to go out and tour for a whole summer or even a month at a time. So these people who helped bring rock and roll to the forefront in the late 50s and the 60s and the early 70s are really just a dying breed. And I would say if you get the chance to go see any of these guys, go see them. And some women too. But if you get the chance, go see them, because this is something that you won't get the chance to do anymore. And I know that's something the Rolling Stones have been playing on for the past 15 years, say, oh, this might be the last tour. But there are people out there who are charging a lot less for tickets and are playing at much smaller venues. You can get right up close to them. And it's really something that's special. I remember when I was in college my senior year in 1999 in the fall, I got to see Bob Dylan play from about 30 feet from the stage. And that was really something that was cool. And to this day, I tell people that I was close enough to see all the wrinkles on Bob Dylan's face. Fortunately, it was a very good show. Apparently, Bob Dylan has a habit of doing some bad shows here and there where he really doesn't remember the lyrics and you can't understand what he's saying. But I feel really privileged to have been at that show just because it was Bob Dylan. And even more so because I read reviews online about that even a couple of years later where people were saying that was one of the best Bob Dylan shows they've ever seen. Now, of course, I'm sure he was really good in the 60s, but a lot of these people who are attending concerts now, and even 10 years ago, probably didn't really get to follow him much in the 60s. And of course, as these people get older, the quality of their playing and their singing is going to go down a little bit. Of course, they are the elite of the music world, so they're still going to be pretty good. Even if you don't get the best performance they've ever done, it'll still be something special. Rock and roll as we know it started out really in the early 60s. I think Elvis was a big influence, but that was still more acoustic, almost kind of big band type of rock. You know, his bass player was doing the upright bass. But when we get to electric guitars, electric bass, and the big drums, and the high voice singers, we're talking about the early 60s and the early 70s. And from the early 60s or so, rock and roll progressed and it progressed, up until about the late 80s, around 1990. Then in 1991, there was a huge dark line drawn in the sand, and grunge music came in. But it was still rock and roll. The only difference was is people were playing songs in minor keys, and they were singing about what they really felt. Unfortunately, at that time, they felt kind of down and kind of pissed off. But that's okay, because all those songs in the late 60s and early 70s that were protesting the Vietnam War were people that were pissed off and just talking about what they felt. These days, rock and roll has kind of stalled, and it's actually pretty hard to find rock and roll bands on the charts. If you look on the Billboard Top 200 albums, you don't see a lot of rock bands there. You see a lot of rap, which I actually consider to be the new rock and roll. They've taken a similar path to what the rock and roll guys in the 60s and 70s did, if you think about them in the 90s and the 2000s. Because in the 60s and 70s, those rock and roll people were protesting the Vietnam War. In the early 90s, the rap guys were basically protesting what they grew up in. I don't know if protesting is the right word, but they were singing about it. And in both cases, people who they knew, who were their own age, who were their friends, were dying. In the 60s and 70s, it was the Vietnam War. In the early 90s, it was the ghetto. And it doesn't really matter where your friends are dying, so long as they're dying and it's a bad situation. And both of those groups of musicians were inspired by tragedy that they were feeling at the time. And just like those early rock stars, the rap stars who died from the gang wars and the rock stars who died from drug overdoses are gone now. But the rap stars who avoided the gunshots are still going to be around for a while. The rock stars who avoided the drug overdoses aren't going to be around much longer. And the point here is, the whole entire point of my rant, or whatever you want to call it, is that these guys who created rock and roll music as we know it aren't going to be around, so go see them, go pay attention to them, go research them. They are important to anyone who listens to rock and roll music today, whether you know it or not. And once again, I thank you all for listening to me. Please go check out my photos at gregburt.com. Of course, you can find my podcast there, too. And also, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so on iTunes by doing a search for Greg Burt. Thank you, and I will talk to you next time.